And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Lynn Cohen, the Executive Director of the American Red Cross Delaware Valley Chapter, part of the Southeastern Pennsylvania region, and Elena Mauger. She is the Regional Communications Manager. And welcome, ladies. Welcome. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I'm saying that thank you for taking the time to be with us right now. I don't think the American Red Cross has ever been as busy as it is right now, not just with the work that you do locally and your blood collection programming, but now you're dealing with disasters that are actually impacting us too. Lynn, let's start with you, though, for that real quick mission statement. What the heck is the American Red Cross?
Our mission is to alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies, and we're able to do that by the generosity of our donors and the donation of time from our fabulous volunteers. 90% of the Red Cross workforce are volunteers, and we are so fortunate to have them with us and helping us during this, as you stated, very, very busy time.
The American Red Cross is one of the first on the scene, and that means sending volunteers from here as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about where the Red Cross is right now and where our local volunteers are?
So over the past month, the Red Cross has been managing massive relief efforts stretching across the five states to make sure no one faces this heartbreaking destruction alone. From Helene and Milton. Our work began really before the first drop of rain. And along with our partners, we've been helping and we will be helping for weeks and months to come. To give you an idea of the breadth of our response, that first night, 83,000 people were in seeking refuge in Florida evacuation shelters the night that Hurricane Milton made landfall. And our priority continues to be making sure that people have a safe place to stay, as well as meals, water, health services, emotional support, and more. More than 4,000 people are currently staying in our emergency shelters across Florida, North and South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. It really is an immensely difficult time for many across the Southeast, as people really struggle to comprehend their new reality. Many have lost everything, their homes, their jobs, their vehicles, and their belongings. Sadly, some have also lost loved ones or are searching for those that are still missing. So more than 2,100 Red Crossers right now are both on the ground in the Southeast and virtually supporting our response. That's an incredible number. And as I shared, 90% of our workforce are comprised of volunteers. Locally, about 100 volunteers from the greater Philadelphia area, including Southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, have deployed to help. We have also lent 10 of our emergency and mission response vehicles to the operation. These vehicles are being used to serve meals and distribute supplies.
We're just not talking about Florida at this point either, because you are still on the ground. I have neighbors who are volunteers, and they have deployed, and they have been out in the Midwest. They were still mopping up after tornadoes and storms out there as well, and in Texas, because the Red Cross stays until the job is basically done, or at least until the locals can take care of themselves.
Exactly.
When we talk about the functions of the Red Cross when you're out there, and it was funny, I interviewed the executive director for Delaware's chapter, and we spoke. She was in Vermont, and she had been there. I think she was in her fourth week at that point. And it is working with the locals on the ground, trying coordination. You're also working to connect people who get separated in a storm or an emergency situation. And again, you're there to help to catalog and to plot out the destruction to hand over.
Yeah, you may be surprised that when volunteers deploy, and staff deploy, you know, we're filling a variety of roles, and you automatically think of the sheltering and the feeding, because that's the immediate need. And that's so important to make sure people are safe and fed and have their immediate emergency needs taken care of. But we deploy people in a variety of areas. So what's great about the Red Cross is there's a little something for everybody. So, you know, we have people deployed in logistics where they work in a warehouse out at a site. We have somebody who is managing the distribution of emergency supplies for all of Florida. We have people working in government operations, disaster assessment, as you said, cataloging that damage and making those initial assessments of that damage. Disaster health and disaster mental health are really, really important roles that help people cope with their physical needs, but also their emotional needs and spiritual care. Public affairs, what we're doing now. All of these things come together and they all work together on a disaster like this. And as I was saying, the great thing about the Red Cross is we do have something for everybody. And given the number of national disasters, we've actually in our region been holding deployment experience workshops for some of our current volunteers so they can learn what it means to deploy and what it's like to deploy and maybe like assuage some of those fears if they've never done it before. And we want to like get them up to speed and because we know that we're going to be, as you said, Laura, we're going to be in Florida, definitely, North Carolina, definitely. We are going to be there for weeks and months to come. And that work is going to continue.
Let's talk a little bit about what those volunteers do here in the Delaware Valley. If someone is a volunteer, what are some of the places that they're going to end up, when they're on call?
That's the great thing about the Red Cross. There's something pretty much for everyone. Like here at home, there are virtual opportunities as well as opportunities to be a disaster action team member and respond to our single family home fires, which is probably one of the biggest disasters that happen here in our community. They also respond to disasters that involve multifamily. Disasters like apartments or things, senior centers, things like that. And we can use, I mean, volunteers pretty much get to set their schedule with the Red Cross. They could be a blood donor ambassador. So that's about 6 hours a month. We ask you to volunteer at least 1 hour or one shift per month, but you can do more. And the great thing about that is you get to look at the schedule and assign yourself to a blood drive that's local and convenient to you. So there's opportunities from being a virtual volunteer working at home to being a duty officer, someone who gets that call and sends out those disaster responders on scene to actually being a responder and pretty much everything in between. The great thing is when people go to deploy, they get trained specifically for a position, and that position and need is assigned. And so they set their schedule and their availability. So nobody just calls and says, "Hey, we need you to go." We make sure the volunteers are trained and that it is aligned with their schedule and their availability to deploy.
If anyone is wondering how they get involved in this effort, we might as well just keep saying that anything we discussed today, you can find more information at redcross.org. If you go there, you can get to your local chapter, or you can find out more about just volunteering in general, or the needs at this time, or how to make a donation. Redcross.org is going to be the answer to everything, but we do have some more specific ones that we will share a little bit later on. We're talking about the fires and the response in the middle of the night when somebody has that devastating house fire. But you also work for prevention. And that's probably someplace, well, we wouldn't expect to see you before the disaster, but from swimming lessons to weather preparation and instructions and tips, you're there before the disaster strikes. So can we talk a little bit about being ready and what you
Yes,
do?
absolutely. So, as you said, we've talked a lot about the impact of disasters today, but another big part of our mission is preparedness and hopefully prevention of disasters, specifically home fires. So most of us don't realize that we just have 2 minutes to escape from a home, and having working smoking alarms cuts the risk of dying in a home fire by half. And that's huge. So through our home fire campaign, we install free smoke alarms for families that need them, and we provide critical fire safety education. So the home fire campaign truly makes an impact. Last year, here in southeastern Pennsylvania, we installed close to 5,000 smoke alarms in almost 1,500 homes and helped more than 1,000 families make escape plans. So, since this program began, we've installed more than 26,000 smoke alarms across our region. And we know that for a fact that at least 27 lives were directly saved here in our region thanks to our work. And you can learn more about our work and request smoke alarms at soundthealarm/Philly.
I know you do a huge campaign every year. Elena, I think you've been in to talk about it before. I think that's in May. But this is a year-round campaign for you.
That's correct. Yeah. In addition to holding that signature Sound the Alarm event that we do hold every May, we do this home fire campaigns and these smoke alarm installations throughout the year. You know, some of them are organized with fire departments in a specific community. Most recently, you know, we've been out to Montgomery Township. We've been out to wow, there's just so many. We're going to be in Bensalem next month. We're doing all these, you know, in our region. But we also do something, we call them hot shots, and thinking, what's that hot shot? So people can go on our website, redcross.org, or soundthealarm.org/Philly, and you can sign up, you can apply to receive free smoke alarms. And that's really important because we want to make sure that families that don't have access to these smoke alarms get them. So when you do that, when you fill out that application for a smoke alarm, when you fill out that request form, we have a group of volunteers that works pretty much every single day throughout our region to go and install those one by one by one, by house, by community. So, you know, you don't have to wait for one of those smoke alarm installation events to come to your community. You can request alarms anytime. And we have a group of volunteers that come out on a daily basis and install those alarms. And that's really special.
I mentioned preparedness. And it's easy to say, well, we don't have hurricanes here and we rarely have a disastrous tornado. However, we just have to look over to Ohio and a train derailment can force you to evacuate or worse, shelter in place. And I say worse because who the heck is prepared for a disaster? And that's one of your, I know that's one of your pillars is making sure that we know what the heck to do in an emergency.
What's great about our website is there is information about any possible emergency you can encounter. So yes, we don't necessarily have earthquakes here in our region, but we do prepare people to what to do in case there's an earthquake, because A, it could happen, and B, we all travel, right? So you could be in a region where it happens, and how scary is it to be somewhere that you're not even familiar with and have this happen? So it's really important to know what to do. So, you know, our website is a great wealth of information, but also, you know, our social media accounts, like on a daily basis, we're sharing that kind of information. We're sharing, you know, what to do in case of these scenarios. And our preparedness team also is out in the field. They do presentations to community groups, schools, churches, and they do the kind of thing where they prepare them for all of these different scenarios. And then they target in on the ones specific to their communities as well. So, you know, here in the Northeast, we prepare a lot for flooding and hurricanes, but then we also prepare for home fires, which is our biggest and most frequent disaster here in the Philadelphia region.
Working with kids for the house fires, I know, is a huge effort for you because they're especially vulnerable, and getting them ready before a fire is critical.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I'll let Lynn talk to that. Yep.
Yeah, so we have a fabulous program that Elena was alluding to, Prepare with Pedro. It works with children, kindergarten through second grade, and they get to learn how to be safe in an emergent situation with a stuffed penguin and a storybook. And they go through and follow Pedro through some scenarios so that when they go home, they can take that information, they get a little storybook, and they can take that information and share it with their family members. And they learn how to be safe and what to do in case of a fire. We also have programs where we do hands-only CPR. And we go out into the community and teach those sessions regularly. As well as in the schools, we used to have something called the Pillowcase Project, but we don't have that. What we've done is adapted that program, and now we are targeting more middle school and high school students to share that information. A lot of people also don't know that we have Red Cross clubs. We have them in the schools and in colleges and collegiate clubs. So those Red Cross clubs support our mission. And it's really great to get our youth engaged with the American Red Cross.
I alluded to swimming earlier. I forgot about the CPR classes and the babysitting courses.
Yeah, absolutely. Our training services program again has a little something for everybody, and those courses are so important. And we see how those courses really do pay off. Lynn and I together, we have had the opportunity to present a lot of several health life-saving awards in our area. And this is when someone through our National Red Cross gets nominated for literally saving somebody's life, and then it comes down to us if it's in our region, and we get to present them. And it's really powerful to see, from the person that, sees somebody having a cardiac arrest and stops their car on the side of the road and jumps out to help, to the first responder that goes above and beyond to save lives. It's really special to see how the people use their Red Cross skills, and it actually works. And a lot of them we've been doing lately seem to be lifeguarding, and especially at the YMCAs. And those staffs have really. The training works, let's put it that way. The training works, and they were very, very prepared to be able to jump in and save lives. And that's really cool to see. So yeah, the training stuff, you can find it on our website at redcross.org. As you said, CPR, AED, first aid. There's a lot of specialty courses in there for first responders and things like that. But there's also courses for everybody. Swimming, we have a great swim app as well. So it's a free app where parents can download that and work with their kids on swimming safety tips and things like that in their own home. So we do offer swimming lessons through many of our community pools and organizations, but there's things that we provide tools for parents as well that they can help keep their children safe in their home.
That's one of the great things about the Red Cross website, redcross.org, is that you do have the teaching materials there that you can access. You can find out what should I have ready to shelter in place? What should I have in my car? What should I keep in the home if I have to run away or if I have to shelter in place, as I mentioned? All of this is available on your website, and it is a great website.
Thank you. Yeah. And we actually just, we just finished National Preparedness Month, which was September. And what we were doing is sharing. We did a 30 days of preparedness campaign on our social media accounts. And every day we were sharing another tip. And a lot of those tips were, okay, you're told to shelter in place at home. What do you need? Well, you need, 1 gallon of water per person per day. Things you don't think about, like who has that many gallons of water ready in their home? Like very few of us, myself included. So it's important to know that. And it's important to have that stuff ready, flashlights, battery powered radio. How are you going to receive communications? How are you going to get information? So, we really have all that stuff laid out for you. And there's checklists. It's really fantastic.
Everything from medicine to pet food.
Absolutely. There's checklists for if you have pets. There's checklists for children. There's checklists for older adults. It's all there, and it's really, really some great information. And it's all free, of course, to everybody. Anybody can go on there and get that information and be safe and ready and prepared.
Let's talk about blood now. When I invited you on, we at Beasley, we've been running a lot of information about the Red Cross right now. We have our headquarters are in Florida, actually. But I know that the hurricanes, we think, well, it's not here, but it does affect the national supply.
Absolutely. It does affect the national supply. You're right. And it's important to remember that when an accident or an emergency or a disaster strikes, it's the blood that's already on the hospital shelf that's going to save a life. It's not the blood that we're going to collect after the emergency. It's the blood that's already there. So that's why we collect blood 7 days a week, 365 days a year across the country, including, of course, here in southeastern Pennsylvania. We have a really, really important and busy blood program here. And while the blood products we collect typically stay in our region, we make sure our regional need is met first. Because we are a national network, we can send that blood where it's most needed. So the Red Cross doesn't collect blood in Florida. We have a partner organization that collects blood there. However, we did before the hurricanes, before Helene and before Milton touched down, we did ship additional products there to support that other blood collection organization. Because again, the most important thing is having the blood on the shelves. So the Red Cross partnered with them and did provide them with blood that was there. Now, I will tell you that, we do collect blood in Georgia, the Carolinas, and Tennessee. So we did see some canceled blood drives, more than 100 canceled blood drives, just that first week after Helene. And that was, it cost thousands and thousands of donations to go uncollected. So we have been encouraging people in regions that are not impacted, like ours, to please consider scheduling an appointment. You can do that at redcrossblood.org. You can also call 1-800 Red Cross, or you can download our free blood donor app from any app store, and you can schedule an appointment. And it's not, if there's no appointments available right away, that's okay, because we need that blood 365 days a year. And so, we're asking anyone who is able to consider doing that. When you go to redcrossblood.org, the cool thing is you can type in your zip code and you can find blood drives that are near you, within 5 miles, within 10 miles of your home, of your community, of your workplace. So it's really easy to find a blood drive that works for you. And, we're also asking people to consider donating platelets if they haven't done that, because that can be done at some of our fixed blood donation centers. And what's really exciting is we are expanding our footprint of blood donation centers. So in our region here, we just opened one recently in we opened one in Horsham a few years ago. We opened one, a brand new one, a much expanded one in Westchester. We're going to be opening one very shortly in East Norriton. And we also have blood donation centers in Philadelphia. We have one in the Northeast, and we have one at our headquarters building at 7th and Spring Garden Street. And we also have them in Wilmington, Delaware, and Pennsauken, New Jersey.
It doesn't take very long at all. And if you have the app, it even cuts down the time considerably there as well. I spend more time waiting to go in than I do giving blood. And we had a drive here at our station just last week. And Tony comes in waving her arm saying, 7 minutes, baby, 7 minutes total.
That's great.
That's
And
awesome.
she must have been juicy that day. But you want to give us a real quick who can donate and how often? Just give us those real quickies.
Sure. So what's really exciting is that if you haven't tried to donate in a while, you may find, and if you weren't able to donate in the past, you may now be able to, because we've changed, the FDA has changed some of the criteria for donations. So now they look at an individual donor assessment, where they assess each individual donor by their own risk. And so a lot more people are now able to donate. People that had some travel restrictions before, those have been lifted. Some people who, as historically, gay men have not been able to donate, that is no longer the case. Each donor is now assessed individually. So there's a lot of more opening for people. And we encourage you, if you have been turned away in the past, we really encourage you to try again, because chances are you might be able to. The low rundown is, in the state of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, you need to be age 17 or 16 with parent consent. You need to be, there's some height and weight requirements. You need to be, make sure you're well. If you have a cold, you should postpone your donation. There are also iron requirements. What'll happen is when you go to donate blood, you get a mini physical, which is also really good because it gives you a little check-in with your health. You get your blood pressure taken and your pulse, and you get your hemoglobin tested. And if all goes well, you can donate. But if not, you find out why, and then you can, follow up. We often hear people say, "Oh, I found out I had high blood pressure, and I follow up with my doctor, and now it's under control," kind of thing. And so, that mini physical is really worthwhile. And the blood donation takes about, the actual blood donation itself takes about 10 minutes, but we do encourage people to allow for an hour. That's from the time you walk in and read the materials to the health assessment to the donation, and then of course the goodies afterward. So we always finish with some snacks and juice and water.
And again, if we download that app, it makes it all even easier because one, you can check and see, well, oh gosh, darn it, I had a tat, or I'm taking a medication that is banned, or you can find out beforehand, not waste anybody's time, but it also allows you to check in and read all that material beforehand.
And I do want to say, you mentioned tattoo, and I want to just point out, because a lot of people don't realize this. They say, "Well, I can't donate because I have a tattoo." That is no longer the case. In Pennsylvania, you have to wait 3 months from the time you get a tattoo, the time you donate. In New Jersey and Delaware, there is no restriction at all. And that's because of the way the states individually regulate their tattoo industries. So the wait time at most is going to be 3 months from the time you get a tattoo. So it's no longer, you're not barred for a year, you're not barred indefinitely. It's a short 3 month wait. So I know that makes a big difference to people. And in fact, we've enjoyed over the years at the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drives that come up every June. We enjoy looking at the donor tattoos, and we actually did a tattoo story this year, having fun looking at all the awesome tattoos that the donors come in with.
Yeah, our Beasley's ML. I can't speak. Yeah, WMMR hosts a blood drive every year, and with combined with you, and it's been one of the largest single day, single location blood drives in the nation. And gosh darn it, we're so proud of Preston and Steve for that one. But again, it's something that's consistent. You need it all the time. It's not just at a particular time of the year. Although I guess there are some times, like in the summer when the schools are out, and of course around holidays, I guess when people are super busy, you might need a little prod.
That always does happen. We do tend to see in the winter and the summer some challenges around the holidays. People are really busy. They're not thinking about donating blood. In the summer there's vacations, schools are out. There's always those challenges, and it's always, we feel like we're always coming out and saying there's a shortage, and it's because there really is a shortage at that time. Because as I said earlier, we need to collect blood 365 days a year, and that's really important because there is no substitute for generously donated blood. I think that's an important thing to remember. It can't be manufactured. It's a drug. It's a prescription drug, essentially. When you're in a hospital and you receive blood, that is a medication that your doctor is prescribing to you. But it can't be synthesized. It has to be generously donated from someone like us in the community. And that's a really powerful thing you can do for someone. And also, about 50% of all cancer patients end up receiving blood or platelets as part of their ongoing treatment. So it's not just for those emergencies. It's not just for people who are in a car accident, people who are in surgery. It's also for people, living with sickle cell disease. That's another really big one. So people that rely on that blood day in, day out to save their lives.
I hate to say it, we are actually out of time. It's time to bring this home. Lynn, would you like to wrap us up for the Delaware Valley chapter, the Southeastern Pennsylvania region?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today. Anyone can help people affected by disasters like storms, home fires, and other countless emergencies by making a financial donation. Your gift enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from disasters, big and small. So to make a financial donation, to schedule an appointment to give blood or platelets, or sign up to become a volunteer, please visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Can't get
And
easier than that. 1-800-RED-CROSS. What's your wish list for us to support you?
Our wish list would probably definitely be, financial donations and donations of blood and volunteering your time. We have opportunities that fit pretty much anyone's schedule, and you can look at those opportunities online at redcross.org. There's a tab that says volunteer. You can find out anything you need on our website. But our biggest, call to action is really those financial donations go to help everyone affected by disasters. 90% of what you give goes back into our programming, which is phenomenal. The Red Cross is great stewards of donor dollars, and you never know when you might need blood. So making a blood donation and or a family member might need blood. So if you've never given blood, I would encourage you to try it. It's like you said, 7 to 10 minutes on the table and you're done. And you get some great snacks. And if you need a smoke alarm, we soundthealarm.org/Philly. You can put in your information and we can come out and install free smoke alarms. Or sometimes people need bed shakers if they're older or have some kind of issue where they are needing extra assistance with the fire alarms.
And Elena?
I just reiterate everything that Lynn said. Redcross.org, we have so many opportunities, and we really do rely on the generosity of donors, both financially and blood, and of course your time, because that's equally as important. So just thank you to everyone out there for your support during these hurricanes and for your support year round.
Everything we've talked about today can be found at redcross.org, wherever you're hearing this, whether it's by podcast or you're hearing this on by stream. Redcross.org, you'll be able to locate your local chapter. Whether it's you're interested in CPR, you want to donate some blood, you want to give some time, or you want to make a financial donation. You can also do that through our website. We have a direct link to the American Red Cross. That's another easy way of doing it. But redcross.org will get you wherever you need to go with the American Red Cross. My guest today, Lynn Cohen, the executive director of the American Red Cross Delaware Valley chapter, and Elena Mauger. She is the regional regional communications manager. Again, with this busy time, thank you both for taking the time today.
Thank you, Laura.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.